Good morning. He is risen. Can I get an amen?
He is risen indeed.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Risen indeed. Amen.
So I want to take us back to the night of Easter. It's nighttime, and Mary Magdalene has seen Jesus. At first, she thought he was a gardener, but then realized when he called her name, he was Jesus. And Mary went back and told the other disciples what she saw. And she told the 12, "I've seen the Lord." And John doesn't say whether the other disciples believed Mary. But in our scripture reading this morning, there are some clues that they had some doubt. It says that they were gathered together in a locked house. And they were afraid that the same people who arrested and killed Jesus might be coming for them next. The disciples didn't want to get into trouble. They didn't want to die and suffer in the way that Jesus had just a few days before. The disciples knew that the priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people were out for blood. And if they could do that to Jesus, imagine what they could do to his disciples. And you can understand that, right? A couple of your friends, Peter and John, they saw an empty tomb where Jesus' body was supposed to be. That's pretty strange. And Mary says that she saw Jesus alive. That's hard to believe. But you want to believe it, wouldn't you? You'd want to believe that somehow your friend and teacher wasn't really dead. But you saw it happen. You saw him get nailed to the cross. They killed Jesus, and you might be next. So you might be cautious. You might say, "Peter, John, tell us that story again. You said the tomb was empty. Did it look like there had been a robbery? How did the tomb robbers move that huge stone?" You might say, "Mary, I know you think you saw Jesus. We're all seeing Jesus right now on the cross. We can't get that image out of our minds. It's like seeing him every hour, every moment. We understand, Mary. It's all too much for you. Just go lay down, Mary. You need a rest." The good news can be hard to believe because bad news seems so much more plausible. But Mary keeps insisting, "I've seen the Lord." Behind the locked doors, despite all the fear, there's a spark of hope. You aren't sure what to believe. Could it be? Could Mary really have seen the Lord Jesus raised from the dead? And then suddenly everybody sees him. The doors are locked, but Jesus is there. He's standing right in the middle of the room saying, "Peace be with you," and breathing on you, which normally isn't so pleasant. But in this case, he's breathing the Holy Spirit on you and giving you power to forgive others. He's taking away your fear and filling you with hope. Jesus is alive. But wait, what about Thomas? Poor Thomas. One of the disciples is out picking up a pizza. He was gone when Jesus appeared to everybody else. And when he gets back, we're all going crazy saying, "Thomas, Thomas, you won't believe it. We've seen the Lord." And here's Thomas holding a stack of pizzas in his arms. "You're right. I won't believe you. There's no way Jesus is alive. There's no way he just showed up while I was gone. Even if that were possible, there's no way he left me out like that." Thomas is angry. He says, "I won't believe this crazy story of yours unless I see him for myself. I want to touch him. I want to touch the places where they nailed him to the cross. I want to put my hand to his side where they pierced him. Then I'll believe you." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like the church is a place full of people who believe crazy things that you just can't? Have you ever felt left out like Thomas did? Like everyone else has had this amazing experience of God and Jesus, but you just haven't had the same experience? The disciples loved Mary, but it doesn't seem like they could quite bring themselves to fully trust the good news of the resurrection. Not just because she said so. And even when everybody else had seen the risen Jesus, Thomas still couldn't believe. This was just too much to take on faith. He needed to see it for himself. We know from John's story that Jesus came back again and again. He didn't leave Thomas out. He didn't make Thomas take the other disciples' word for it. Jesus loved Thomas and wanted to see him. He wanted to be with Thomas. He wanted Thomas to know and believe that he had risen from the dead. Jesus was happy to make himself visible to Thomas, to give the gift of his presence. Jesus says to Thomas, "Touch my wounds. Put your hand in my side. I'll give you what you need so that you can believe." And Thomas is overwhelmed by emotion, and he cries out, "My Lord and my God." And I know that Jesus is so happy to see Thomas and to be seen by him. He's so happy that Thomas can now feel on the inside of the story. He's joyous that Thomas can believe. But he also reminds Thomas and the others, "It would have been nice if you had trusted Mary from the beginning. Oh, ye of little faith, why didn't you believe her when she came bearing the good news?" Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And this has been the line of the church for the last 2,000 years. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have come to believe. Or to put it another way, take our word for it. We've seen. You can trust us. The church, with its Bible and tradition and collective memory, proclaims the good news to us. Like Mary, like the apostles, the church testifies to the good news and asks us to accept it as a gift. And that's hard for a lot of us. It's hard for me. I'm very much a Thomas-style Christian. I need to see, I need to touch, I need to hear. I need to experience the risen Jesus for myself. It's not enough to hear the stories, even from people who are trustworthy. I want to believe, but it's so hard when he's appeared to others, but not to me. The good news in our reading this morning is that both of these things can be true. We really are blessed when we believe without seeing. We're blessed when we trust Mary Magdalene, who brings us the good news of the resurrection. We're blessed when we trust the great cloud of witnesses, the apostles, the saints, and the church throughout the ages. We're blessed when we trust them, even when we can't see clearly. But the good news is also that Jesus Christ is here to teach his people himself. That's the emphasis of the Quaker movement. That's the special value that we bring to the wider church. A church that often says, "Trust us, trust us, trust us," but is sometimes skeptical that Jesus is really here for us like he was for his first disciples. The good news is that Quakerism lifts up that God does not condemn us if we're like Thomas and the 12 apostles. If we need to see Jesus for ourselves, he will show up. Jesus will be present with us. This isn't a burden for him. Jesus loves to do this for us. Jesus is available to guide us and teach us. We're blessed if we believe him without seeing, but he'll be present with us when we need him. So how about you? Have you seen the Lord yourself? Or are you a blessed person who's come to believe without seeing? Do you feel left out sometimes? Do you feel like you're missing something? Do you wonder if anyone else feels like you do? I have. I do. We have. We do. You're not alone. Just like those first disciples, we're gathered together waiting on the Lord, waiting to see what will happen next, to see how he will guide us, learning how to trust one another as we trust him, learning to say, "We're blessed because we've come to believe without seeing." And also learning to say, "We have seen the Lord."